Welcome. It's your lunch hour. Mr. Credit here. Guaranteed to make you smarter than everyone else. Guess what? I'll give you two guesses. The Dow Jones is up or it's down. You're right. It's up. Just like it is every other day with this mechanical market that we're in right now. I mean, the thing, just the chart, it looks like the staircase from the first to the second floor of this thing. Even Dr. Doom can't naysay this market. He's got a big smile on his face. We've got a great show for you today. We're going to run some numbers. It's going to blow your mind. Going to make you smarter than everyone else. We've got my financial planner, Dan Osgood, in the studio today from freeinvestmentaudit.com. Dan, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great.
Great to have you as always. I got a very intriguing discussion today. We're going to piggyback what happened this morning on UTTV with Scott and Amber and kind of the direction that that conversation went. We've also got one of our fellow Corporate Alliance members in the studio today, Anthony Jenkinson. He is the VP, the Vice President of BKM Officeworks. Welcome, Anthony.
Thank you, Derek.
Great to have you, my friend. So, I look forward to tapping into your knowledge of kind of what is happening with businesses. You know, when you talk about businesses that are big enough to have big office space presences and what they're spending on that, I think that's a good indicator, kind of a litmus test for what's going on in the local economy. So I can't wait to pick your brain a little bit later in the program. So here's what happened. I went on today, UTTV, Scott and Amber. It's the butt crack of dawn. I mean, it's like 6:30, you know, in the morning, which is really early for me. I'm an afternoon radio guy. And so I'm in there. And we want to talk about real estate. Should you buy real estate or not, right? That was a topic. So, okay. So I went in there with my best stuff. Going with my best stuff. Don't even get through my punch list. I've got three things that have to be the case in order for you to buy real estate. Scott interrupts me. He says, but wait a minute. Fits your life plan, but interest rates. Interest rate. What are interest rates today? 3.5%. Okay. Well, shouldn't you buy real estate today if you were considering it in the next few years just to save money on interest? Because interest rates in a few years are going to be up. What if they're 6 or 7%? And I could play the what if game all day long. Mm-hmm. I mean, what if the government starts issuing 0% mortgages? I mean, what if house prices go down 50%? We can play that game all day long. Right. And the idea, what we've got to get out of the heads of the people who want to be smarter than everyone else is we've got to get the idea that interest rates have to go up out of your head, because they do not have to go up. There has to be a catalyst. And the question is then, all right, if we know that there needs to be a catalyst, what could one of those catalysts possibly be, right? Like what could be a reason, something that would cause interest rates to go higher? Well, if you just back it up a little bit and go, well, what caused interest rates to go lower? What caused interest rates to go lower? And you look at that, and, well, it's pretty obvious. The Federal Reserve had a lot to do with it, right? They're in there buying mortgage bonds, which causes mortgage rates to go down. They lower the overnight lending rate to effectively 0% mm-hmm. for banks. So and now the Federal Reserve is not federal, nor are they a reserve for that matter. But they do ship their profits to the Treasury Department. And they are in a kind of a political arena. I mean, they have to testify on a regular basis. You know, they are treated as though they are government, even though they are not. It's kind of like Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And so why would they lower interest rates? Why was it to spur the economy, right? Well, that's one reason. But also look at what we've got in the way of debt as a country. Just look at the numbers. I'm going to pull up my calculator here. If you look at $16 trillion, which is a very difficult number for people to comprehend, $16 trillion.
Is that a real number?
Yes, it is. I mean, they tell me it is. I've never seen anything that's 16 trillion. I don't even think we have 16 trillion cells in our bodies. But, you know, it's a lot. I actually did pull up the math one time and to give people an idea of how much a trillion is. And I believe it was, I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was like the number of seconds it would take for the speed of light to get to the sun was like 5.9 trillion. I can't remember what it was, but anyway, I'll try to look that back up so I can give you an idea of what a trillion is. But here's the point. And we know that all of the government debt isn't just in 10-year bonds. Okay, we know it's not the case. But if it were, let's run some numbers and just see what we'd be looking at. Approximately 2%. Some of them are going to be less than that. Some of them are going to be more over the course of the accumulation of this 16 trillion. If we use 2% as the number at a 10-year rate, the monthly payment, see, the mortgage payment that the government has to make on its debt is $147 billion a month. Now put that in perspective. The government only brings in about $210 billion a month. So just to make the payment on the mortgage, they're spending 75% of what they bring in. Now imagine if you were doing that as an individual. If you were making $4,000 a month and you were spending $3,000 a month on your mortgage.
Better like that house because you're going to spend a lot of time there.
That's the only place you're going to be able to go. You're not going to be able to drive to work. Nope. You better hopefully you can siphon the internet off someone else and work from home.
So I know who's asked.
Gosh, dang it. Like somebody keeps changing the banks in here and it's killing me. So the point is interest rates need to be low because the government won't be able to service its debt if they go higher. It will not be able to make the mortgage payment. And the government's the one who's been controlling, causing interest rates to go down. So if we know that to be the case, then the only thing I can find, Dan, and help me find another possible reason. The only reason I can find why interest rates would go higher is if we eliminate the budget deficit, we get a surplus, or at least get a balanced budget, and the amount of debt, we start putting a ding into the amount of debt that we've got as a nation, and that starts to go down. And even if it starts to go down, they're not going to raise interest rates at that point. They're going to, you know, plow through a bunch of it before interest rates would be able to go higher. And in my opinion, that's nowhere near happening. It may not even happen in our lifetimes. And I can't find another reason that would cause interest rates to go up. Am I missing something?
No, generally they play with rates to try to affect inflation and try to slow it down. So if inflation really, really got going, then they would almost have to. But that would more than likely be a pretty temporary thing just to try to rein in inflation a little bit. And then probably drop them right back down.
Yeah. Well, I mean, inflation is already a big problem.
No, it is.
I mean, and maybe
it's
not.
It's only 2%.
Yeah. It's only 2.5%, right? Is that what Ben said?
Yeah.
We take his word as bond these days. No, I mean, if you look at just the currency, though, isn't that that's a little bit skewed? I mean, the numbers that they're giving us are very, very skewed.
Oh, absolutely.
Because of the way that currencies are measured. They're compared to other currencies. And when other countries are having, you know, a flu as well, economic flu, then that causes the comparison between them to not quite match up to what's really happening.
Right.
Now, as someone who doesn't understand currencies that well, I don't want to talk a whole lot about it, but I will say this. The only reason I can see why interest rates go higher is if we had a massive devaluation of the dollar. I don't know what would cause that. Or if it were the case that the government balanced the budget and started paying down their debt. So if you're going to wait around for that, don't hold your breath for that.
This is part of that what-ifs game, right?
This is the what-if game. Yeah. What if the government starts paying down their debt? Because interest rates don't have to go up.
No.
They don't have to go higher. They can stay at this level. They can go lower. They could stay here for the rest of our lives. They could stay here for 200 years.
Right. When Steve Bick used to be on, he would talk about it. Look at Japan's about the only similar situation, and they pushed rates down to zero. And now 20-plus years later, guess where they are? Still roughly the same number. They have never gone back up.
And what has happened? People there hoard money.
Right.
You know, they hoard money. Mm-hmm. But this is also, I mean, if you think about it, from the government's perspective, there's two reasons to do it. Number one, to keep the interest rates low so that you can service your debt. Number two, what's the one surefire way to keep people happy? Stock market going higher every single day. Because there's nowhere else to invest when interest rates are this low.
It forces people to take more risks than they're probably
comfortable with.
Yeah.
Exactly. So you get a twofer in keeping the low interest rate environment for the government. What makes you think they would want to give that up? You know? Especially a government that's, I mean, frankly, into controlling us. So, a couple of things. And I will say this. The White House did get this one right. They did get this right. Now, I'll call it like I see it. I always will. They did get this one right. The White House has gotten behind the petition. 114,000 people signed this petition to allow the unlocking of cell phones. It's still illegal right now to unlock your cell phone. So in other words, you buy an iPhone with AT&T, you can't take it to Verizon and get Verizon service. You have to buy a new iPhone with Verizon because it's locked. Some sort of chip in it or some sort of computer software in it that locks it out from being able to receive service from anyone other than the service provider with which you bought it. 114,000 people signed a petition, 114,000, to say, hey, this isn't fair. This is not, you know, it's my cell phone. We're not leasing the cell phone from these companies. We're buying the cell phone, and they're manipulating the cell phone so that it can only be used by them, which is completely ridiculous. It's obviously the same product. It's not like it's a different phone, a proprietary product of the cell phone service provider. It's an Apple product. So the White House has gotten behind this. I can't believe it took us this long to raise a fit about it. I mean, this is completely insane. The fact that these guys have controlled who you could get your cell phone service, and I went through that. I had to take a perfectly good AT&T iPhone and hawk it so I could get Verizon and actually be able to talk to people on my cell phone.
Get real service.
Oh, man. I'm telling you. It would be hard for me to find a company that I hate more than AT&T. There's just so many horrible stories. But they are the reason, in the end, they are the reason Mr. Credit exists. Is it was AT&T that slapped a collection on my credit report in 2005 for a cell phone bill that I had co-signed for in high school. So it is them in the end who I do have to thank. I can't forget that. And I did beat Carl Icahn to this one. Not sure if you saw this or not, but Dell continues to go higher. Icahn's in now. He's going to take up to a 6% stake. I got you in this one about 3 or 4 months ago. It did slide all the way down to $10, now up over 14, and Icahn's in, so it's going to continue to go higher. This guy's making moves, huh? How would you like to just be a bored billionaire? Wouldn't that be fun? Just be a bored billionaire, you know, just an older guy with billions of dollars. What company should I buy today?
Go argue with Buffett.
Or Ackerman, or just create fights and just have fun with it. Yeah. And then get into a fight with a guy who's shorting a stock that's volatile, mm-hmm. and then run it up. That'd be so much fun. I'd have so much fun with that. This guy's not, he's not running a fund. It's his own money, Carl Icahn. And he's buying up Herbalife. He's making moves, man. There's a lot of, you know, M&A activity taking place. Another company bought out today. What was it? Hot Topic is going to be purchased by a venture capital firm for $600 million. So there's moves being made. The market is hot. Whether it's real or not, you can't fight the facts. It's going higher. I think it continues to go higher. The question is, how are you set up? Are you protected for the downside? Are you well allocated? Are you diversified? What are your holdings? When we come back, we'll tell you exactly how to make sure that you're in position should things turn around for the worse and still be able to take advantage of the upside here. We'll be back to make you smarter than everyone else. Mr. Credit, your lunch hour, ESPN 1700.
If you'd like to speak with Mr. Credit, just visit talktomrcredit.com. That's talktomrcredit.com.
If you are considering a short sale or letting your home go to foreclosure, please listen carefully. There are laws in place to protect you and ways that you can get out of a bad real estate situation completely unharmed in almost every single case. But here's the important thing. Time is of the essence. I will help you 100% free on how to handle a short sale or foreclosure on your home while eliminating the damage done to your wallet. But I need you to call as soon as possible so we have all potential options available to you. Okay, this is the key. Call 888-888-0154. It's 888-888-0154 and just leave a message with your contact info and brief synopsis of the situation. That's it. It won't cost you a dime, but could save you a bundle. I don't want you to become one of those horror stories I hear about every day from people who didn't call me until it was too late. I'm doing it for free because it's my job. Let me do my job. Call 888-888-0154 right now for all the information you need to do what's best for you and your family with regard to your real estate. 888-888-0154. That's 888-888-0154.
The law is on your side. That's right. The laws are designed to protect consumers from being riddled with debt. They're designed that way so that you can become debt-free and get a fresh start. You should do what I did when I had financial stress. I called William McDonald with the McDonald Legal Group. Find out how you can use the law to your advantage. Delete your debt and keep your stuff. You got credit card debt, timeshares, old IRS debt, collections, medical bills. Any of this stuff can be wiped away with the Chapter 7 bankruptcy, and it only takes 100 days. Call William McDonald today. 800-997-1235. 800-997-1235. Or go online, sandiegobankruptcy.us. 800-997-1235.
This is Lisa with the McDonald Legal Group. We are a debt relief agency. We help people file for bankruptcy relief under the bankruptcy code.
Mr. Credit here in the studio with my financial planner, Dan Osgood, and Anthony Jenkinson, the vice president of BKM Office Works. Anthony, can I call you Tony? Anthony, is that all right? Do you go by Tony at all? Or is
it just, family does
just
call
Anthony.
Me Tony.
They call you Tony. All right, I'll call
family
you Tony.
Family calls me Tony. You can call me Tony.
All right, Tony. So, you know, the thing that about this market, we know that it's gone higher. One thing we do know about the U.S. economy is that it has always come back. The economy, and I'm not talking about the stock market here, I'm talking, you know, the economy has always recovered in the past. That doesn't mean that it always will in the future, but we know in the past it has always recovered. And that's why the optimists, the Warren Buffetts of the world, tend to do pretty well. People who stay invested, stay diversified, tend to do very, very well. And this is the reason why I think it's very important, if you have an investment portfolio, whether it's in a retirement account or in an account that you're managing yourself, that you do the investment audit, the free investment audit you can get from Dan Osgood directly, because of the fact that you'll be able to see exactly what it is you own. You may think, oh, well, I've got this mutual fund over here. It's large cap growth. Well, but what does it own? What's in there? You know, what stocks do they actually own? What funds do they own? They might be buying treasuries. They might have a big portfolio of that. I mean, what do they actually have? You need to at least know that. Maybe you like it. Maybe it's what you wanted. Maybe it's too expensive. How much is it costing? That's the other thing. How much does it cost to own that fund? Is there another fund that has similar holdings that's cheaper? Then we can take that money that you're paying to them and compound it for you instead. But most importantly right now, risk. We've got to turn risk off. Because of the low interest rate environment, people are being forced to take more risk on in order to get the returns that they need. It's forcing people into the stock market, and that in itself is the recipe for a bubble. And I don't want you to get caught with your pants down if it bursts. If you're well diversified and if you've managed your risk properly and you have a good financial plan in place, you can avoid that. Just go to freeinvestmentaudit.com. Just submit your information. Very simple. Name, phone number. Dan will call you. He'll do the free investment audit for you and give you all that information. It's 100% free. Freeinvestmentaudit.com. Or you can send a text to us to our text number, which is just 844-44, and text the word audit to 844-44. So Dan, they give us these stories. I mean, it's just like candy from a baby. It's like, you know, soft toss.
T-ball.
Yeah, it's unbelievable how easy they make it for us here. And this story, I think it originated from what the New York Times ended up on Investment News. And it's called Selling the Home Brand, a look inside an elite J.P. Morgan unit. And basically, this guy, his name is Johnny Burris. He's a former private client advisor at J.P. Morgan Chase. Said he was fired last year because he refused to push investors toward the bank's in-house financial products. Now, conflict of interest, anyone? This is the problem with the industry in general, right, Dan? Is that Compensation is not directly tied to doing what's best for the client. And this is a horrible example of how that can really affect someone. What we're telling you here is that this gentleman who worked for this elite unit at J.P. Morgan Chase, where they work with really high net worth individuals and people who are giving their money to their financial advisor to hopefully do what's best for them. And he was not only incentivized to put people into certain products, regardless of whether it was best for them or not, but was fired for not doing so.
Right, and the bank will definitely deny that that was the reason he I'm sure they found something else that he was doing that they didn't find to be the most scrupulous activities.
He was clocking in 3 minutes late every day.
Right, right. this is just another example of the big conflicts that are going on. This is not the first case of the in-house products really being pushed and incentivized to the advisors to sell because they'll pay a higher payout or whatever their incentive is. Maybe it'll lead to a bigger bonus structure if you have a certain percentage of your book of business in the in-house products. And it's just a very big flaw. They're just looking out for the bottom line of the company. They're acting in the best interest of their company, not for the clients they're representing.
Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad that the shift changes from what's best for the customer to what's best for the shareholder? It's crazy how that happens. I told you I had a buddy who used to work for a big brokerage house. And, you know, he would always complain about the comp structure and how it was changing all the time. And
every year.
Yeah, exactly. And how they kept changing it so that he would make less unless he started, you know, bringing in the same amount of money and putting it into certain products.
Right. Different focuses every year that looked fine on the surface, but then when you look at them very detailed, you could see that it's all driven back to the company.
I just can't believe that this is the way that this is. I mean, this is the most highly regulated industry. I mean, you can't even say half of the stuff that I'm sure you'd like to say on this radio show because of how, you know, tight the regulators are within your industry. Yet these big companies can not only compensate people, but can do things like this and get away, fire someone who was trying to put his clients first. I mean, it's mind-boggling. I mean, think about, and I know you know this because, you know, you're in this position. It's a position with a lot of pressure, right? People are giving you their retirement savings and saying, hey, I want you to, I'm trusting you. This is my money. This is what I've worked so hard my whole life for. Here, you help me put this in a place that where it's going to be safe, where I can make money, where I can use it to retire one day. That's a very serious situation. And the fact that these companies take it so lightly, just right, structuring comp plans on a matrix and Excel spreadsheet and telling people, I mean, it's just nuts. And this is not unusual, is it?
No, not at all. It goes back to this argument's been going on for a couple of years now about suitability versus fiduciary responsibility. And all the broker-dealer world functions in that suitability where it just has to be a suitable investment or option for the client to be okay. It doesn't have to be the very best thing. It can just be a suitable thing. So that's the same as if you say, I want to buy a car, I like red cars, and you just take the first red car you see. there's a big difference between every red car out there, and if you want a sports car, a truck, a minivan, whatever it is, those are all the little details that lead you to what's absolutely best for what your needs are, not just, I want a red car.
Let me anoint you the president and CEO of the SEC, you know, whatever the title is. And what do you do to fix that? I mean, is it possible to fix this conflict?
They keep trying, but there's always someone finding a new way around.
Is it because the world, you know, the actual execution of the service of being a financial advisor, is it because it's so dynamic and there's so many variables that you just can't pin down a way to keep people from doing things that are wrong for their clients to line their own pockets?
Well, the company itself is maybe who's doing what's wrong. There's a lot of great advisors trying to do what's right, and they're just limited by what their company allows them to do. So we can't really make a blanket statement that these people are out to get them, but definitely the company is looking out for their bottom line absolutely first.
Right.
And foremost.
And that's what I mean, is that, you know, they when I say they, I'm talking about the companies who are deploying resources and setting up comp plans that are best for themselves. And, is there a way to change that? I mean,
unfortunately, they're so big right now that they just lobby against this. This has been an ongoing battle for a couple of years now about arguing about we cannot be held as fiduciaries for our clients. And they're just making up kind of silly arguments where my view is anybody who's in the role of advising someone on what to do with their money should be held to a fiduciary standard and absolutely have to do what's best for that person.
So how can they not say that that's the case. I mean, it has to be the case. It had, so I've anointed you now. Yeah. Okay, you're running the SEC. What can you do? Is there anything? Take the lobbyists out of the picture. The buck stops with you. How can we fix this thing?
Just hold everybody to the same standard. If you're in a position, I mean, it can go back as far as, like, we always joke about Jim Cramer on TV. That guy has no accountability for anything he says. There's nobody that's going to hold him to the fire and say, you told me to do this. It's your fault, so I'm going to sue you. He's got no liability to that. And then it trickles all the way down. These big firms are doing the same thing, that we're just supplying you a place to have your investments.
Wouldn't it make sense if we just did something simple like, okay, no in-house products, or people who work for a company can't sell the in-house product? You know, I mean, that would make some sense, wouldn't it? Because then it's like, all right, or we can't have a different comp structure from one product to the next. All products have to have the same comp structure.
That would probably be the best route, of just not creating any different comp structure, or make the profitability to a company the exact same. But there's so many different ways that companies make money, whether it's off the trading within the funds or the ongoing expenses. The managers, every avenue they make a little bit of money off of. So that's why it's so complicated to try to regulate.
Dadgummit. I was hoping you would give me a
nice
simple answer.
Yeah.
There's never an easy answer when it comes to this.
And that's why you see this, because there aren't easy answers.
This is just one of those things where you have to read the story. This is going to be posted on the blog today, MrCreditBlog.com. You won't believe. You got to hear what this guy had to say. And, you know, here's what the JP, I will say this, because there's no one here to speak on behalf of JP Morgan Chase. A JP Morgan spokeswoman, her name is Kristen Limkow, said the bank's products were, quote, well diversified and designed by expert asset managers. That's it. That's all we got. So, okay, that sounds like a well rehearsed statement, but it is what they released, and that's what we've got. So she also did defend the bank's practices, noting that this gentleman secretly taped his colleagues, quote, we believe it is unethical and unfair for Mr. Burris to use these piecemeal conversations to make his case. Okay, yeah, I understand that as well. And we'll let the judge decide what's admissible in court and what isn't. How about that? But, you know, the bottom line is that regardless of what's done, if nothing changes as a result of this story, okay, so be it. You need to be aware of the fact that conflicts do exist. You have the right to ask questions. You have a right to know what's going on. You have a right to know what you own. You have a right to know what every fund that you have costs. You have a right to know what your risk is within your overall portfolio. And you can get all of that information 100% free at freeinvestmentaudit.com. You can go to freeinvestmentaudit.com or text the word audit to 844-44. So you just send the text message to the number 844-44 and put in the word audit in the message, and that will sign you up for the free investment audit if you aren't able to go to freeinvestmentaudit.com. All right, when we come back, the seven factors of those who consistently build wealth, and we'll take a look inside what's really going on in San Diego's business world. Mr. Credit, your lunch hour will make you smarter than everyone else. Stick around.
If you'd like to speak with Mr. Credit, just visit talktomrcredit.com. That's talktomrcredit.com.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the United States own mutual funds. It makes me wonder, how many of these people have read all the fine print associated with those investments? The good news is, you don't have to try and figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is willing to do a free risk cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, call the helpline today and get a free analysis so you can find out how much these investments are really costing you. 888-888-0154. That's 888-888-0154. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much? Dan will tell you this for free, and he'll also give you a risk analysis snapshot so you can find out if you're taking on more risk than you should be. Just call the helpline today at 888-888-0154. That's 888-888-0154. According to the Government Accountability Office, over 70% of people have errors on their credit report. And let me tell you, these errors are not helping your credit score. They are hurting it. Hi, Mr. Credit here. Look, the fact is, credit repair can work, but it's just too expensive for most people to be able to afford it. That's why I'm excited to tell you about a nonprofit company that has a flat-fee credit repair system for only $4.99 per person. If you or anyone you know wants to improve their credit, just call the Credit Repair Helpline and speak with an expert for free today. 800-525-1349. That's 1-800-525-1349. Don't let the banksters and credit bureaus win the battle of destroying your credit so they can make a profit. Fight back today. Call 1-800-525-1349. That's 1-800-525-1349.
You would not want to be your engine's rear seal, wrapped around a greasy spinning crankshaft for an afternoon or a decade. Your rear seal would tell you that, but it's busy hugging a crankshaft, remember? But after 75,000 miles, you need to switch to Valvoline Max Life Motor Oil with conditioners that help rejuvenate aging seals to prevent engine failure. Remember, your rear seal is not going to text you a little yellow sad face. After 75,000 miles, switch to Valvoline Max Life in the red bottle, because there's a lot of car left in your car.
Hi, Tom Baudette. It's never been easier to book a clean, comfortable room at Motel 6. You can book online at motel6.com, use our cool new app on your tablet or smartphone, or call 1-800-4-MOTEL-6 on your dumb phone. Sadly, you can't book by pigeon or Morse code, so if you want the lowest price of any national chain by telegraph, I guess you're just ... I'm Tom Baudet for Motel 6, and we'll leave the light on for you.
This is John Feinstein, and this is a CBS Sports Minute. The New York Yankees must feel like Rip Van Winkle. They went to sleep one day and woke up old. Baseball's most expensive team has all of a sudden become baseball's creakiest team. Alex Rodriguez is gone until the All-Star break, at least. Curtis Granderson is down until mid-May, and now so is Mark Teixeira. Mariano Rivera is trying to make a comeback at 43, and Andy Pettit's 41. Don't look now, but Derek Jeter, hobbling back from a broken ankle, is going to be 39 in June. Heck, even their general manager's on crutches right now. Can Yogi Berra make a comeback? How about Whitey Ford? They'd fit right in with this group. Yankees owner Hal Steinbrenner has vowed to get his team under the luxury tax cutoff number of $190 million in payroll by next season. If Steinbrenner's serious, the Yankees better find some players under 40 between now and then. I'm John Feinstein.
At Advance Auto Parts, we give you deals. And now, money. That's the Advance Advantage. Get a 5-plus quartz jug, a Pennzoil Platinum full synthetic oil, plus a K&N filter for just $29.99. Then, get a $10 Amex Rewards card by mail. It's like getting a full synthetic oil change for just $19.99. And that's pretty stinking good. That's the Advance Advantage, only at Advance. See store for details. Mail-in rebate void where prohibited.
If you have gout and think a few attacks a year are all you have to worry about, think again. Fact is, gout can attack silently, even between flares. You may not feel it, but gout's root cause, high uric acid, can allow crystals to continuously form and build up in your joints. Over time, this may lead to attacks in other joints, constant pain, and joint destruction. So don't wait. Get more information at goutinfo.com and talk with your doctor about ways to keep your uric acid at a lower, healthy level.
Out. Coming up a little later, the seven factors of those who consistently build wealth. What are the seven things that have been found? This is from psychologytoday.com, their blog. Seven factors of those who consistently build wealth. What are they? Do you have those things? Right now, we've got Anthony Jenkinson in the studio. He's the vice president of BKM Office Works. Anthony, I want to try to get an idea from you. I want to get a pulse on what's happening in the local business market. But tell us a little bit about, first of all, because we're one of our corporate alliance members. Corporate Alliance is an incredible situation. I really enjoy being a member of Corporate Alliance. It is like a high-level networking group for industry professionals. It's really, really cool thing. I'm going to tell you about their free offer in just a second. But what does BKM Office Works do?
What we do, we have about 115 employees that are committed to really listening and understanding organizational objectives and tying that to your business outcomes.
Okay, so I'm a business owner. I am trying to figure out how to structure my office space. It has to do with the office furniture and stuff like that, right?
Absolutely. Furniture, walls, you know, everything within the built environment we really focus on and try to.
Technology too, like wiring phones and stuff like that, or is it mostly just the hard stuff?
We do have that capability, so we can do AV integration, you know, run your data cables, all things within the workspace.
Okay. So being that the case, one of the things that we've noticed over the course of the last, you know, 5 to 7 years, companies paring down the amount of space that they have. I imagine that most people think that would be a bad thing for, you know, a BKM Officeworks. But I'm thinking it might be good because if I'm trying to be more efficient with my space, I might be calling a company like yours. What has really transpired over the last, you know, 5 to 7 years in this downturn in the economy?
Yep, no, absolutely. Good question. What we're seeing is people definitely, you know, as far as workstations go, panel sizes and heights are coming down for a lot of reasons. Some of the trends we're seeing, there's literally five trends that bubble to the top. Real estate optimization, which just doesn't mean putting more people in the same amount of square feet. It's really presenting and providing a palette of place is what we call it. Kind of interesting words to choose. But, you know, you have a lot of choices of what you need to do throughout the day. You know, enhancing collaboration is probably one of the biggest buzzwords we're hearing because people believe collaboration, big word for me to say,
yeah,
leads to innovation.
So you mean making it easier for people who work together to communicate with one another?
Absolutely. So to do that, you need to bring down the walls and get people to really interact with each other.
And now I have a question because there's a hot lead for you in the news last week. I don't know if you saw this or not, but Yahoo has eliminated telecommuting. And so they are essentially taking all their employees who are working from home and they're forcing them back to the office place. Did someone from BKM give those guys a call yet?
I'm sure our business partner up north in San Francisco has, absolutely.
That sounds like a hot lead
for
me. But
that's an interesting trend. I mean, we're asking our clients, you know, why do buildings exist? So why do you create the space in which people come? And then what does that space need to look like to help you be a better business?
Okay. So it has to do with all the aspects involved. How does it look? How does it feel to your employees? How does it look? How does it feel to your customers if your customers come in?
Absolutely. The brand, the culture, you know, even well-being at work. You know, you come in at 8 o'clock, you're refreshed, you're energized. How do you create a space that when you leave at 5 or 6, you feel as good as you did at 8? You know, and so that really has to...
What are some of the things that companies do to try to achieve that? Just give me an example or two. I'm just curious how a company could say, you know what, we're going to build an office environment through architecture, basically, right, that allows us to have our employees be happier at the end of the day. What are some examples?
Right. We're not architects or designers. We take the ideas of those very smart people and apply them to the space with furniture.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the things you do is you want to be able to move throughout the day. So adjustable height surfaces in the workspace are, you know, we're seeing that much more common because it's been proven that if you get up and you move, you're going to feel better, you're going to keep your blood flowing. You know, I think there's a quote in some research study where if you're going to make a big decision, you should take a 10-minute brisk walk. It's going to clear your head. It's going to help you think better. You're going to have better outcomes than if you're just sitting in this dark dungeon, you know.
That's funny. I do pull-ups. It seems to get the blood flowing.
I can tell.
It tends to get the blood flowing. You like pull-ups too, Cyrus? Yeah, it's good. It's good. And it's just, I mean, it really, if I'm tired, and I know I've like got to sit down and do a project or something like that, and I'm like, oh man, I'm just kind of sliding off a little bit. I go in and grab, you know, just 5 or 6 pull-ups, and whew, the blood will just start flowing. So that makes a lot of sense. And I think that is a challenge for a lot of people who own businesses, especially businesses where you've got people working 8 to 5, you're working behind a desk, you're looking at a computer screen. There are a lot of things. What about, as far as, you know, computer screens and stuff like that are concerned? Is there anything that's changed with regards to that? I know it seems like everywhere I go now, everyone that's sitting at a desk has 3 or 4 computer monitors in front of them. And is that something that I'm just noticing, or is that part of the new trend in trying to make people happier?
I think the technology costs are coming down so that what was prohibitive isn't anymore. So, and then the information that comes at us every day is, I mean, you can really work from anywhere. So you can, I'm driving over here, I probably saw two people working from their car, driving, drinking coffee. You know, so you can.
Real safe. Right. Yeah, thanks, guys.
At least they weren't texting.
No.
They
no,
probably were.
They were emailing.
Yeah, exactly. Same difference.
Right. But no, I mean, so you really can work anywhere. And so the technology is definitely influencing. You know, you went from the big CRT monitors not that long ago. So in a work environment, you'd have to provide a space for that to reside. Today, everything's much smaller, more efficient.
You know what I think you should do the next time you do a presentation in an office is I think you should pull up like one of the first Law and Order episodes from the early 90s and look at the structure in the office spaces. It is really funny. I don't know if anyone else is a Netflix person or Law and Order fan. You go back and watch some of the old Law and Orders, and even though you watched them 10 or 20 years ago in some cases, you still kind of forget some of the nuances, and so it's still good to watch. But you turn those things on, and you see exactly what you're talking about. The huge monitors, you know, no one has cell phones.
Right.
So there's no cell phones.
You had the brick.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's only like the millionaires who had
right.
it. Everyone else, it's like you got to call someone, you got to write down, leave a message, you got to have someone run over there. Things have changed so much. And I imagine for a lot of the bigger businesses that have huge office environments, part of changing, and what we believe here is that to be successful in life and in business, you have to keep educating yourself. That's the key, is to keep educating yourself. And I think that this is just another one of those things you have to educate yourself on. How is the environment structured? We know that we tend to mirror our environment. If we're in a loving environment, we tend to be more loving. If we're in an angry environment, we tend to be angry people. That is just the way that we work as people. So I think it makes a ton of sense. I want to give you a chance because, by the way, we've got in the studio today, it's Anthony Jenkinson, who's the Vice President of BKM Officeworks. Tell us, give me just a quick blurb on what you think about Corporate Alliance, Gary John, and what they're doing over there in UTC.
No, great things. No, very good things. I mean, it's really, you know, I think it's been 18 months in the works here in San Diego. And, you know, since then, we've seen great members join. We're all collaborating, you know, interesting. You have conversations on a monthly, weekly basis on how to solve individual business problems. And really, as a group, we're all helping each other be better at what we do.
Yeah, it's really, really an amazing thing. I mean, you talk about networking groups. A lot of people have heard of some of the regular ones out there that meet every Tuesday morning at the crack of dawn and stuff like that. And Corporate Alliance meets, you know, once a month, whether you're in the Jumpstart or the Executive Pools program. There's a program for everybody, and you can get either a free breakfast or a free lunch, depending upon which one of those you fit into. All you have to do is email gary@knoweveryone.com. So just email gary@knoweveryone.com. Say you'd like to get the free meeting. See what it's all about. If you're in business for yourself, or if you're even just in a commission sales position or anything like that, or you own a business especially, this is something you should check out. Look at how the structure is set up. Go and check out the office space. Isn't the space, the hub, amazing? I mean, I was blown away by how awesome it was. Because you think you're coming into, it's like, okay, this is going to be, you know, a regular office space. I mean, they have different rooms. There's lounges. There's pool table. There's brainstorming rooms where one entire wall is just whiteboard, and they've got a whole stack full of dry erase and stuff. So you can go in there and just lock yourself in there and brainstorm stuff out and draw on the walls. It's really something that you can't possibly imagine what's there unless you see it for yourself, and you can go to one event for free. All you have to do is email gary@knoweveryone.com. All right, when we come back, the seven factors of those who consistently build wealth. And oh, by the way, the House has passed a bill to keep the government afloat. But for how long? We'll tell you when we come back. We'll make you smarter than everyone else.
If you'd like to speak with Mr. Credit, just visit talktomrcredit.com. That's talktomrcredit.com.
Have you been selected for an audit by the IRS? Do you owe the IRS money and want to find a way to settle your account as quickly and easily as possible? Hi, Mr. Credit here. Listen, I had the IRS come knocking on my door over $600, which I didn't even owe them as it turns out. I know how scary this stuff can be. The good news is I know exactly what to do. My tax attorney, Jeffrey Kahn, is board certified and works only on tax-related issues. He understands how the IRS works and how to make the most of each situation. And get this, mention Mr. Credit when you call and get a free consultation and a tax resolution plan, $500 value, absolutely free. Call Jeffrey Kahn today at 866-494-6829. That's 866-494-6829. 866-494-6829 today and get these tax issues behind you as quickly as possible. 866-494-6829. That's 866-494-6829. If you are considering a short sale or letting your home go to foreclosure, please listen carefully. There are laws in place to protect you and ways that you can get out of a bad real estate situation completely unharmed in almost every single case. But here's the important thing. Time is of the essence. I will help you 100% free on how to handle a short sale or foreclosure on your home while eliminating the damage done to your wallet. But I need you to call as soon as possible so we have all potential options available to you. Okay, this is the key. Call 888-888-0154. It's 888-888-0154 and just leave a message with your contact info and brief synopsis of the situation. That's it. It won't cost you a dime, but could save you a bundle. I don't want you to become one of those horror stories I hear about every day from people who didn't call me until it was too late. I'm doing it for free because it's my job. Let me do my job. Call 888-888-0154 right now for all the information you need to do what's best for you and your family with regard to your real estate. 888-888-0154. That's 888-888-0154.
Gather around, boys. You got to get in the game. And I got our secret weapon right here. The exclusive ESPN Hub app on my Nokia Lumia smartphone. You want real-time scores?
Yeah!
ESPN Hub app. You want access to the latest sports news and videos?
Yeah!
ESPN Hub app. Do you want to personalize the sports news you see and put your favorite teams right on your home screen?
Yeah!
ESPN Hub app. Now get to an AT&T, Verizon, Nokia. Or T-Mobile store and tell Lumia. Them you want a Nokia Lumia
Nokia.
Smartphone.
Lumia.
I love those guys.
The road hates your engine. They are adversaries, enemies, foes. The road will attack your engine with dirt, dust, and grime through your air filter any way it can. Fight back. Reclaim the horsepower the road tries to steal. Every 12,000 miles, it's easy to change to a Fram air filter that keeps dirt, dust, and grime out of your engine. If it's on the road, there's a Fram that fits. Find your Fram air filter at your local automotive store.
Para resultados y más información acerca de este programa, consultar la página espnradio1700.com.
Out. The Dow continues to march higher today at 35 points again. I don't expect that to change anytime soon. As long as you got nowhere else to put your money, people will continue to put in stocks. We're seeing it continue to move higher every single day. I think we had like a 200 point down day. I don't even remember. 10 days ago? A
couple weeks ago.
Yeah. And ever since then, it's just been. And then when we made the new all-time high in the Dow, and now every single day we're making a new all-time high in the Dow. And so that is just creating more and more news, bringing more and more retail money. And I hope you don't get burned. I really want to make sure that you're protected. That's why I strongly encourage you to go to freeinvestmentaudit.com. Get your audit done today. Make sure that you've got your investments set up in a way to protect you, to mitigate against risk here. Because although we're high-flying and everyone's making money, that's typically when the most risk is on the table, and I don't think this is any exception. So this is from psychologytoday.com. Dan Osgood sent this over to me. And what was cool about this was they referenced a book by Thomas Stanley. And the book that he wrote was called The Millionaire Next Door. A lot of people have read that. He points out that there in that book that there are seven factors or common denominators among those who successfully build wealth. And number one, I think, is probably one of the things, Dan, that you have to combat right away a lot of times in your financial planning consultations. Number one was they live well below their means.
Right. That's the big human nature factor where people, as you make more money, you spend more. And then if all of a sudden that changes, it's hard to turn around and start spending less again. So that is definitely one of the biggest hurdles and challenges.
Living below your means. Let's define what that is. That means that you can afford to buy a brand new car, but you choose not to. You could afford to buy a house that's $200,000 more than what you actually decide to buy a house at. That's living below your means. And oh, by the way, when they tell you that you qualify for a $500,000 or $600,000 mortgage, just know, and this is one of the craziest things that exists. Just know when you qualify for a mortgage, and it's not the lender's fault, okay, or your loan officer's fault, but the banks do not look at all of your financial information. Think about that. All they use is your credit report. They don't look at how much you're spending on your children's private schools. They don't look at how much your gas and electric bill is. They don't look to see if you have a gambling problem. They don't look to see how much you spend going out to dinner. They don't look to see how much your grocery bills are. They don't look to see how much your internet cost is. They don't look to see how much you spend on clothing. They don't look to see any of that stuff that you spend money on a regular basis. If it's not on your credit report, they don't consider it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is crazy. And this is why we say, look, if you're going to buy a home, There's three things that need to exist. Number one, okay, your primary residence, right? If you're buying an investment property, you need to really think hard about it. Is that something you're up for the task on? Number two is, you know, can you afford it? Can you actually afford to buy a home? Meaning, when you break down all the things you spend money on a regular basis that the bank isn't factoring in, can you afford to buy the home and does it fit in your life plan is number three. So living below your means, what we mean there is, You don't buy something just because you can afford it. You look at what do you need? What do you need to get by? You know? And if you can live below your means, then you'll start to see that it kind of becomes a little bit addictive. It's like saving money.
Right. And prioritizing goals is a big part of that, to really determine what is the most important thing you want to get out of life and putting that at the top and then planning around that.
Yeah, and you know, and I look at things like owning a home, and the reason why I go back to that is because it is a good part of a financial plan, mm-hmm. or a retirement strategy. I mean, if in the end you own your own home, you know, when you retire, that sure does help.
Absolutely. That's the biggest expense typically when people are getting ready to retire to account for. Where are we going to get the money to pay for the mortgage?
Right. And so then when you look at your goals, you have to factor that into, you know, what you're saving money for, whether you're putting money aside for your retirement plan, for a kid's college fund, to pay off your home. You've got to really take a look at those goals and allocate accordingly. Number two, and this is the seven factors or common denominators among those who successfully build wealth. Number one, live below their means. Number two, allocate their time, energy, and money efficiency in ways conducive to building wealth. What do you think they mean by that exactly, Dan?
Again, that would go back to laying out what all your goals are and prioritizing those and make sure everything you're doing is working towards those goals that are important to you. And in most of those cases, it should be putting money aside for the rainy day, making sure there's no big surprises, being able to handle some type of big financial catastrophe.
Mm-hmm. Protection.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, I tell you, there's been a number of people, especially recently, who've reached out and said things to me along the lines of, hey, I've got $10,000. Where would you invest it if you were me? And my response is, well, is that $10,000 above and beyond your rainy day fund? Is that above and beyond your cushion fund? No, that's what I've got. Okay, that's your cushion fund. Now start saving. And then when you get your next $10,000, mm-hmm. now let's talk.
Right.
You know, so that has happened a lot lately. Number three is they believe that financial independence is more important than attaining high social status. That is so, so huge.
And that one definitely circles back to the living within or below your means.
Right. So is it, you know, do you want to be, you want to drive the BMW because you want people to look at you a certain way? How much is that really worth to you? What is that? What is the value of that? Is it worth the $800 a month that it costs you? Or is it more important for you to be taking that $800 a month and dumping it into your retirement account?
Right.
that's the question. That's
a difficult one because everything in this day and age is about sensationalism. And look at all the Hollywood. How much press do these people that are really meaningless in the big scope of the world, but they get so much press, the Kardashians, things, people like that. And people, oh, I have to do that because I saw it on Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
And Dan, do you keep up with the Kardashians?
Luckily, we do not have TV connections at our house. So, no, I don't. I mean, unfortunately, we don't have TV at our house, so I don't get to. I'm sure I can catch it on Netflix or something.
I'm sure you can. or Apple TV, perhaps. But, you know, that one was huge for me because you look at that one and you say, well, what are you actually getting? You know, you have to ask yourself that. What is more important to you? Mm-hmm. Really, ask yourself, what's more important? Would you rather be socking that money away, or would you rather be spending on a car, which is just really taking you to point A, from point A to point B, the same effective result mm-hmm. from a car that costs, you could pay in cash, what it costs you to pay four payments on something like that.
The best example, one of the wealthiest guys in the world, Mr. Buffett, he still drives, what, that Buick that he bought in 1978 or something?
Yeah. And he still drives the same thing.
And wow. That's a guy who can afford to buy any car in the world.
Sure. Yes. He could buy a car for everyone in the world.
Yeah.
that's a very good point. I think that's something that has to be a point that has to be made. Number four, their parents did not provide economic outpatient care. I thought that was huge because this is something we individually don't have a lot of, you know, control over necessarily what our parents do. But I thought that was one of the things that's okay. So it's some maybe tough love does work.
Right. Yeah. I've seen both sides of that where it works on both sides. We're helping out in a rough situation. It is kind of the lifesaver, but in the other case where absolutely someone's got to get kicked in the pants, seat of the pants, and say, guess what? You got yourself into this trouble. You're going to have to figure out how to get out of it.
Yep, go figure it out. Get on the phone. Yep. You know, you figure it out, how to deal with it. Number five was their adult children are economically self-sufficient. Number six, they are proficient at targeting market opportunities. And number seven, they choose the right occupation. I think those, you know, market opportunities, there are so many times when we, especially from where I sit, I see people have opportunities that they don't take. Mm-hmm. And it's difficult to help people identify those specific opportunities if they haven't seen them before. But when you think you're on an opportunity, you have to jump all over it because mm-hmm. they just don't come along that often. And so the mentality of people who tend to successfully build wealth is that when there's an opportunity, I'm there.
Right.
I'm in. Get me in. Figure out how to get me in. I'm going to figure out how to get into this thing, and we're going to make it work. And as far as choosing the right occupation, I think that's something that really just boils back down to you got to do something that you love because if you're going to be passionate about it.
It's going to be very easy to get out of bed every day and do that job if you really enjoy it.
And continue to get better at it as well. So there it is. Those are the seven factors or common denominators among those who successfully build wealth from The Millionaire Next Door, author Thomas Stanley. All right, that's it for today's show. We got it's Big Mac and Ryan White coming up next. Stick around for that. Big thanks today. Cyrus ran the show today. Fantastic job, my friend. And Dan Osgood, my financial planner with freeinvestmentaudit.com. Also, special thanks to our corporate alliance member, Anthony Jenkinson, the vice president of BKM Officeworks. Thank you, Anthony, for coming in today.
Thank you.
We will be back again tomorrow at noon to make you smarter than everyone else. We'll see you then.
If you'd like to speak with Mr. Credit, just visit talktomrcredit.com. That's talktomrcredit.com.